It's the award-winning Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report with radio man Dan Diker, Bill Doc Niles, and Paul the Penguin Reichert here on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG. Brought to you by Badger State Clean Water and Air. Do it for your family. Big Boar Barbecue in West Salem and La Crosse, voted the best in the county. Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights, Highway 21, Toma. FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier of Dan, Doc, and Paul. Dean Satellite and Security, and the Team Dean segment. The Overtime Pub and Grill in Bangor, the game never ends at overtime. Cool Beans Coffee House in La Crosse, Kickaboo Coffee, Teas, Baked Goods, and more. And the ARCA Midwest Tour, and Madison International Speedway. Now here's the voice of local motorsports, Dan the Voice Diker.
Welcome in, race fans. It is Saturday, obviously, and it is not race day, but it could be, well, close enough. I'm radio man Dan Diker, Billy Knock, Niles, Paul Reichert. We bring you every Saturday at noon the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report here in 1460 WBOG. That's CoolGold1460.com and Billy Doc Niles, the TuneIn app.
I love that TuneIn app.
So do I. I counted 1,100 people that liked it last week for the first show of the year.
Nice, that's cool. Just getting our feet wet. Well, I shouldn't say that on a day like today because it's possible we're wet everywhere. But just getting our feet wet, second show of the year. We got some. Supposedly some practice going on at La Crosse, hopefully. We got our friends down at Rockford with the Spring Classic going on tomorrow, so hopefully we get some racing going on this week.
Well, here's the deal. Of course, we tape segments of this program before Saturday, so it's a 50-50 whether they're running the media day at the La Crosse Speedway. If, in fact, they do not run it this afternoon or it gets cut way short, you have open practice coming up Thursday night from 5 to 7 at the La Crosse Speedway, and then media day will be moved to next Saturday, which is the 21st, which means it'll be at the same exact time, 11 to 3:30. So watch our Facebook pages, call the La Crosse Speedway, watch their Twitter, their Facebook, and all the social media for the rest of today.
Watch our page, yeah. We'll keep you up to date.
And we'll let you know. The Thursday is on. The practice will be from 5 to 7. Media day, if it doesn't happen today, goes on next weekend. So I am so I was watching some modifieds from Toma. They were firing up their motors for the first time this past off season, this past week. They need to come up with technology where I can smell race fuel through my computer.
Well, and you got all that cool stuff going on MAV TV. You know, you got Madeira going on. You got stuff to keep you interested in racing, get you all pumped up for what's going on here in the next few weeks, everybody getting their season openers.
And Paul Reichert, the Burning Rubber Race Report. How many flat screens do you have at home? Do you, like, watch 9 different races from 9 different states at the same time? I mean, DVR just hates you.
Oh, I probably watch 4 or 5, I don't know. But
could you imagine Paul Reichert on a Saturday or a Sunday? He's got this big, fat remote that probably weighs about 8 pounds sitting next to him. He probably has some kind of a robotic thing that automatically brings him beer, soda, chips, cooks his hot dogs. I bet you don't leave your couch from Saturday morning to Sunday night, do you?
Not really, no.
unless it's a race smoker.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
Speaking of race smokers, dude, do you got your running shoes on for today?
Got my running shoes. I've been fasting since Wednesday. I'm going to be doing the Steve Bachman smoker today at Silverado's in downtown West Salem at 3. Jesse Poxick's at JT's right across the street also at 3. Going to be doing them simultaneously.
I want to see how you're – I might just pop out just to see how you do this, and I'll stand out in the street and watch you run back and forth.
You can hold the stop sign. You can do Freddie's job from the speedway.
I'll count last. Oh, there you go. Yep. Don't go.
See him in Madison with the ARCA Midwest Tour. Yeah, a couple of big smokers coming up today. Do you want to also mention Jacinda Paff? Thunderstock driver, she's back for a full season this year.
Oh, great.
Hers is at the Vault this afternoon in Rockland. I think that one starts at 4. Talking about Steve Bachman and Jesse Poxick, they're both going to join us on the program today. And Kevin Ramsell, the ARCA Midwest Tour, great friend of the program, is going to join us. And I want to use the term controversial really loosely when I say this, but Kevin brought up the fact that some racetracks are posting signs that you are not coming in our track and Facebook Living. Quick thoughts on that.
Well, that's you've seen that over the last few years. It's getting pretty popular with people in the stands do a Facebook Live. You know, and I got to admit, I've even watched it a couple of times. We're not going to talk about it. We got him in segment four. We're not going to talk about it then. But the last segment, we're going to get Kevin's thoughts on this since he posted it.
Paul, give me your quick 20 seconds. Should people go to Facebook Live in the grandstands of a racetrack?
I really don't think they should, really. It's I mean, the promoters are paying out the money. The fans are paying the money for the tickets. Come and go see the race. I mean, if they want to post it later, like on YouTube, they can do that. But that's what Speed 51 is for. So I think just leave it. Just come to the races.
And I'm looking forward to what Kevin has to say.
Program being brought to you today by Big Boar Barbecue. West Salem, voted the best in the county. Toma Sparta Speedway racing Friday nights, Highway 21, Toma. Hey, check out the KQED GTV shopping show this week. All the way through the week,
they have tickets.
Toma Sparta Speedway tickets on there for the first time. $10 tickets for whatever Rick sells them for. And Lacrosse Speedway tickets are also going to be on there here soon enough. We're also being brought to you by Dean Sutland and Security, fansarena.com, the official clothing supplier of the program. Overtime Pub and Grill in Bangor, stop by after the races. And Cool Beans Coffee House in the Lacrosse, home of Kickapoo Coffee. Paul, Doc, and Dan, we're coming right back to kick the show off next on 1460 WBOG.
That pit stop's over. Back to the Badger State Water and Air Race Report with Dan and Doc on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.
Welcome back to Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report here on 1460 WBOG. Along with Billy Knock-Niles and Paul Reichert, I'm Dan Eicher. Got a big event coming up this afternoon as well, of course, Media Day, Practice Day. Not sure what's really going on there.
Mother Nature, I hate you.
I know. And we've got some more news about that we're going to do later in the program. If you need something to do today and tonight, well, there are two big things going on. Matter of fact, going on across the street from each other. One of the events in downtown West Salem is featuring our next guest who went at it last year in a lacrosse late model. He's got one full year under his belt by himself. He's ready for year number two. That would be the Polish Punisher, Jesse Poczek. Jesse, how are you, my friend?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you guys tonight?
Doing fantastic, man. You've got a big shindig coming up here in, about 3 hours in downtown West Salem?
Yeah. We're excited and looking forward to it. We've the whole crew and everybody, all my family's pitched in. We put together a big array of prizes, and it's been a lot of work, but it's looking like it's all going to pay off this afternoon, and we're excited. We're ready.
Don't expect Niles, because he only showed up to his nephew Sam's. He hasn't been seen at anybody else's, so we're just going to kind of not even include Niles in this conversation because he blows all the drivers off because he thinks about himself. We'll bring Paul into the conversation. Paul's been at every single one.
I am big time in all yous.
Paul, Jesse, you got to watch Paul when he shows up Saturday. The past two smokers, dude has raped some prizes, man. Some cash prizes, s'mores.
Yeah.
That's great. We hopefully we got some stuff for him too when he shows up on this afternoon. So
yeah,
we're ready.
Yeah, Jesse, tell us about some of the cool things you got going on there today.
Man, he's got a lot.
Well, we got cash raffle going on. We've got free beer, free food.
Ding, ding.
Drink specials.
Ding.
This is new upcoming information to be released. I actually have a sponsor that's an energy drink. That's a Wisconsin-based energy drink.
This is breaking news right here, folks.
nobody knows about this yet, but we're gonna have, it's Clutch Energy Drink is the name of the company, and we're going to be having some Clutch Bombs and some other drinks specials going on, including the Clutch Energy Drink.
Now, is this the stuff you let me test out at the when I saw you a couple of weeks ago at JT's?
That is the stuff. That was the day that I brought it over to for Trisha and the gang over there to try out, and they ended up ordering. They got on board with the drink, and they ordered some stuff, and that's when we set everything up to do the drink specials for the party and everything. So yeah, there's going to be all the prizes, and we're going to have a couple chainsaws, a couple guns, a Benelli Supernova duck shotgun, but it's like a duck edition gun, and then a 30-06 rifle that we're going to be raffling off, and shoot, I don't even know how many Chinese raffle baskets and a live auction. We're gonna have everything going on, and the man DJ Dan's gonna be there too. So you know there's gonna be good music spinning all night. So.
You know, that's gonna be mandatory. Of course, this is, we didn't even say where the location was. JT's Long Shots in downtown West Salem is gonna be hosting this. Now you started 3:00. Correct?
Yes, 3 o'clock. Sorry, so you started 3
on his Facebook. It's about 3 to 10 or whenever we decided to start kicking people out. And a great chance to support Jesse. It's one of his first ever racing smokers. He and his wife have been hitting this thing hard. His entire race team has been hitting this thing hard. And we encourage everybody to go out. I'll be on the wheels of steel. Going to be an interesting Saturday as I kind of go back and forth.
Hey, Dan. He's got a couple of chainsaws. What do you say we take them and we go Jesse James Dupree, do a little do a little lumberjack.
I do need to get my my backyard cut down. Jesse, talk to us. 2017. What is did it end as the way you wanted it to before the season started?
Yes. I mean, as a whole, we accomplished our goals that we set out at the start of the year. Be honest, the first part of the year, things were clicking real well, and we kind of, expectations kind of got raised a little bit, and we were thinking we were going to hopefully finish a little stronger than we did, and we kind of got in a little bit of a slump there in July, and I mean, we still had some good runs, but we just didn't quite have the speed that we had at the start of the year, and I was searching and trying to find a few things in the car, and we were playing the back and forth game, trying stuff, and I found a couple things that I hit on right before Oktoberfest, during our break between our regular season and Oktoberfest. We actually did a little traveling and ran up at Marshfield and ran down at Madison a few times. And, I tested a few things and I found something that I think is really going to pay off. We all were a little upset with Oktoberfest and all the rain and everything that, I mean, it's none of our faults, nothing that we could do about it. But, that particular night I happened to be starting on the pole, and I was pretty excited. I'm pretty sure I was going to lead some laps, and we were ready to see what happened there with a nice stall field that night. And I don't know. I'm hoping that that we can carry that, what we feel was momentum that we found and some speed that we found there, and just carry that into the start of the year and be ready to go here. So.
And Jesse Paul here. I was wondering, of course, we all know that you worked as a crew member with Andrew Morrissey for several years. And I was wondering how easy or how difficult was it to start up this team here that you have, JP2 Motorsports?
It's difficult. It really, truly is difficult. This is, my team has been something that's been going on for a while, but it's been off and on, up and down. It's tough to put these cars together and to organize the money and the commitment that it takes from both myself and my crew guys and my family and just everybody. A lot of people I don't think really realize how much work and how much money and how much effort it really takes to put these cars together and run them on a weekly basis. And I feel really fortunate the way we were able to start out last year at La Crosse. I really truly like that program over there. It's a great program. It's a great group of guys. It's probably the strongest field of cars in the state that runs on a weekly basis. I mean, the names over there that are running every Saturday night, it's a pretty good field. It's just a great program. And to come out there as strong as we were last year, I feel good about that. I feel that, we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish and excited and looking for more for this year.
Now, Paul touched on it there. You worked with Andrew Morrissey for a few years. Not many people realize this, but you do come from the other side of the state, which is kind of difficult in itself. Number one, is how big of a pain is that just to make the trip every week? And number two, how often do you get a Sunday or a Monday where you bend Morrissey's ear on what to do with the car?
Well, the second part of that is me and Andrew talk a lot. We're talking on the phone usually in the summertime a couple times a week, as well as a couple other – there's a couple other teams that I work real closely with, and we're always bouncing ideas off and what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And, just going over how the night went, what, things that we think we could change or make better or or whatnot. So, I mean, we communicate a lot on that aspect. The first part of the question, I guess, kind of did that backwards, but the first part of the question is it to the distance, and it's about an hour and 35 minute drive from the time I pull out the shop to pull in the track. So it's not terrible. I mean, I'm coming from a pretty good ways. I know there's some of the guys that are coming out of Minnesota that have equally as far as a driver, or some guys that are probably pulling farther even too. Yeah, it's definitely different for me. You know, lacrosse is a track that I've been coming to for years, watching over there at Oktoberfest, and you know, I'd been there for a few weekly shows before I started racing over there, and it was just like I was always really intrigued by that program and how things were ran over there. And the cars that we had, the super late models we were running over here, and just things just, you know, kind of prevented me from being able to come over there. And finally I sold off a car that I had that had been sitting here for a little while, and it was actually one of Andrew Morrissey's old cars, the car that he actually won the ARCA Midwest Tour Championship with. It was a pretty good car, but I never actually raced it. I owned it for a couple of years and nothing ever really happened with it. And we ended up selling it off to, believe it or not, a guy that races it down in Arizona now on a weekly basis at another Wheel and All American track at Tucson. But anyways, I got rid of that car and bought the former Steve Carlson car from Mike Kennecke, and we haven't looked back yet. The rest is history. It's going pretty good so far, I'd say.
Alrighty, out of time on the segment, Jess. That one just blew right by, but we got some great information right there. Folks, you're going to see the JP2 Motorsports late model back out of lacrosse this year. Again, he learned some things, so we're going to see if that's going to carry over from 2017 into 2018. And again, we would highly recommend that you stop down to JT's this afternoon and check out his first big-time smoker. Going to be starting off at 3 o'clock, ending around 10 or so. And back up the trucks. A lot of prizes.
It's break up the Brinks truck, man. There's going to be a lot of stuff going out of there.
All righty, Jesse, thanks for joining us on the program, my man. We will see you here in a couple of hours downtown.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, JP2 Motorsports, Jesse Posick, the Polish Punisher, and down at JT's Long Shots. It's going to be starting at 3 this afternoon, the JP2 Motorsports Smoker. When we come back, more. Wow, man, I tell you what, show number two of this year is going to be chock full. You're going to find out next on 1460 WBOG.
It's Team Dean time on the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report.
Welcome back to Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report here on 1460 WBOG. Along with Paul Reichert and Billy Doc Niles, I'm Radio Man Dan Dyker. Also, I want to welcome those people listening on CoolGold1460.com and the TuneIn app.
Love that TuneIn app.
Team Dean segment time right now, and this gentleman has been joining us, I think, the past 3 years as a representative of Dean Satellite and Security. Two-time Chase champion of the Lacrosse Fairgrounds Speedway. He also has a racing smoker this afternoon, and that would be Mr. Steve Bachman. Steve-O, how are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are things in the shop?
Things are going great. The car is pretty much ready to go. Just got to get tires ready for practice, and we got race tires and all that stuff to figure out, and she's race ready. So to be this far ahead, it doesn't sound like it's far ahead, but we're quite a ways ahead when you have a week to just do little things and get ready before the race.
Steve, I got to ask you, man, the last few years you have been so close. I mean, you came within a few points of Sheck a few years ago. Broke your arm 1 year when you were close to leading, so close the last 2 years. Is this the year?
I've wondered what it takes to win a championship, and I just keep running into bad luck. And hopefully I got all them gremlins finally away, and hopefully this can be the year that it actually comes together and we can get her done.
You know, every year we talk of the tower, and we do our little projections of sportsman drivers. Paul Reichert, Paul, you've had Steve Bachman winning this thing the past two. Not this year, because we haven't discussed it yet, but 2016 and 17, you were one of the first ones to say, I think Bachman's got a chance.
Yeah, I keep saying that every year since 2016. I think Bachman's got a chance. I mean, he's won the Chase Championship the last 2 years. I'd like to see him win the championship finally. I mean, that's the, I guess you could say, I know the monkey on his back right now, but I would love to see him finally do it.
Steve, have you had to go back and forth with your dad on different setups? I mean, once you guys get in a good six-race groove, something's working, but then you always have that one part of the season where things just go straight down the hill. Are you guys going to be going back to maybe some more traditional things and staying with it this year?
Yeah, and that's actually the truth about everything. The traditional stuff that has been working since 2013 when I ran for a championship against Arneson. 14 with Shuck, 15 with Nick, 16 with Nick, 17 with Randy. We try all this new stuff, and we all go back every month to the same exact setup that we had in this car back in 2013. Regardless, there's some changes with Shuck and some rule changes, but spring setup and percentage and all that stuff all comes back to the same setup. So I'm just going to leave it alone this year and race it every single week. And I think that's just going to be the best thing to do, is to leave my hands off and believe in the car like it has done. And it's been a good car. I've won a feature in every month. So I just got to keep winning all year long and not run into that slump where we get tangled up in wrecks or cut a tire or blow a motor or little silly things that just keep getting us away from that championship, and just hope that we can finish every race and not get sent to the back.
Steve Bachman joining us. This is the Team Dean segment here on 1460 WBOG. He is a Team Dean's driver again here in 2018.
Yeah, Steve, let's talk about today. Obviously Mother Nature is playing games with our practice here at the La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway. Talk about what you got going on later today and tonight.
We got my smoker coming on tonight. It's probably our sixth or seventh annual smoker. It's been a very good party. We got a lot of great prizes. Looking forward to seeing everybody come out. The racing family is really awesome. I've been going to them for about a month now, and you see all the racers going and supporting other people. So I'm excited. We got a lot of cool things. Got chainsaw, guns, tree stands, deer camera, lots of hunting stuff, some fishing stuff. Got some stuff for the ladies. Got the wine and candles and all that stuff. So there's something for everybody to try to win, and hopefully it turns out to be a great turnout again.
All right, so what time does this all start, and where's it taking place at?
3 p.m. at the Silverado Saloon in West Salem. Yeah, 3 p.m. It comes with food, beer, all you can eat, drink.
Oh, and, bonus.
There's going to be no food left in West Salem, Diker.
Yeah, we got an awesome DJ Dan Diker.
Man, I tell you what,
it's going to be a heck of a party.
I'm going on a starvation trek here starting on Wednesday because between the free buffet at Poxix and the free buffet at yours, I'm going to need all kinds of room to get all this food down, man. I tell you what.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the one Diker's not at because I'm guaranteed some food there.
Yeah,
but I tell you, every smoker, I've DJed five of them so far with four more to go before the end of April. Nobody has ran out of food. Nobody has ran out of beer. And I tell you what, and Paul Reichert's gone to every single one of this year, Steve. Just like you and your dad, every single year you guys never run out of prizes.
No, we have lots of great prizes, lots of great donations. I can't thank everybody that donates to my smoker every year. There's a ton of names. I don't want to forget anybody. So thank you to all of them. But the free beer part, you got to watch some of them people, Decca. They try taking your free beer. Don't forget that.
Oh, I know. Last year, somebody stole both of my pitchers. I had to resort to a paper cup, and I was just going to move my DJ system over by the keg.
I think last year somebody stole
the Daytona 500 party, and somebody drank my free beer.
I think last year somebody stole our shots, too.
That was one of the most liked pictures Steve and I have had on Facebook in quite a while, was that Eckelberg's Racing Smoker. Steve, as we wind down the interview again, that's going to be this afternoon, folks, at Silverado's downtown West Salem, starting at 3 and going all the way until close. 2018, is this going to be the year?
Yes, it is.
Oh, bold declaration.
Oh, look at that. That's all he has. That's it. That was it.
There was an exclamation point. I heard it.
It was a pregnant pause.
I'm confident.
Boom, boom. And, the competition's going to be there again this year. Not sure what Brad Worthen's going to do, of course, getting as many wins as he did last year, but you're still going to be very, very stout, 5, 6, maybe 7 sportsmen all trying for the same spot again.
It'll be tough. There ain't nothing easy about it. Everybody's competitive. Everybody's just great racers. They're all fun to race with. And the best part is we all get along afterwards and hang out on the weekends. That's another awesome, cool thing about it.
It is. That's one of the biggest things. And how many, this year I'm going to get your dad a shoulder sling just in case.
Steve.
Hopefully. Yeah.
We only got a few seconds.
His dad's always got his arm pumping up in the grandstands when Steve-O gets a win right there. One of these days I keep telling his dad, I'm like, dude, you're going to throw your arm right out of the socket.
Yeah, we only got a couple of seconds left here. Tell us about who you got sponsoring you this year. Who's helping you out?
We got Nodelman Grain Cleaning coming back. We got Fastenal for sure coming back. Long Keeper Service, Dean Satellite and Security, Castle Realty, Silverado Saloon, Dan Diker, DJ, Sunseekers, Tosser and Temp, the Lloyd Speed Stops, Weir's Machine.
Come on,
got a lot of them.
What about my most favorite one I like announcing?
The Big Nuts Deer's Faction.
Boom, there it is. There it is.
You know, I heard you say lawn keepers there. Has McClintock ever stuck his nose in there and asked if he could drive it?
Yeah, no, not quite, but he's on board this year for the first time in 2018. I'm excited to have him come on for the first time, so hopefully his first year can be a championship year. So.
Awesome.
Alrighty, Steve Bachman, the number 14 sportsman here in the Team Deans segment. He's a Team Deans Satellite and Security driver this year for the Team Deans Satellite and Security sportsman. That's three shouts for them and just one little gasp right there.
Wow, you could be a pitch man for someone.
Wow, that's outstanding. Steve-O, we will see you this afternoon again. Silverado's 3 o'clock, one of the world's biggest parties going on, and that is to support the number 14 of Steve Bachman. Steve, we will see you down the road here in about 3 hours.
Sounds good. Thank you. Can't wait.
All right, Steve Bachman, part of the Team Dean segment here on 1460 WBOG. We're going to talk ARCA, and we're going to talk about Facebook Living at racetracks. That's coming up next on the Race Report on 1460.
Now back to the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report with the three stooges of short track racing, Dan, Doc, and Paul the Penguin.
Welcome back, race fans. Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report here on 1460 WBOG. I'm Dan Dyker. Along with me is Paul Reichert and Billy Knock Niles, the man that knows everything about Oktoberfest and Fest Tower shindigs and the ARCA Midwest Tour. And all kinds of good things is going to be joining us early this year on the program. You're going to be hearing quite a bit from him because he's a man with a plan. That will be ARCA Midwest Tour writer Kevin Ramsdell. Kevin, my friend, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Hey, I understood that you had did you have to put a movie on pause to do this interview?
Yeah, I was watching Happy Feet.
Yeah, see, he sent me a picture of what he was watching.
Oh.
He's watching Happy Feet.
Well, isn't
the
that...
dancing penguins are awesome in that movie. Let me tell you, it's worth watching.
And I won't say who this segment's being brought to you by because, you know, some people don't need to hear all that stuff. Kevin, are you ready for the spring here in the middle of August?
I thought we had a couple days of it here a couple days ago, but I guess we're back into I guess we're back in the winter mode. I guess it'd be nice if this temperature warms up so we can get some racing going along here. You know, I know everybody was hoping that maybe get the racing season would get going last weekend up at the Dells, but Mother Nature said no to that. So I don't know who upset Mother Nature. I don't know if she's still got some leftovers from Oktoberfest to still dish out on us or what. I don't know.
Well, she needs to get rid of it because we've got open practice at La Crosse today, getting ready for our opener on the 22nd. Of course, Tome opening on the 29th. Hopefully we can at least get mid-50s by May 6th down in Madison, huh?
Yeah, I'd say May 6th would be a great day because that's the first time that Dan Dyker can have a really giant pretzel this year.
I'm going back-to-back this year, back-to-back.
Back-to-back this year, yeah. Now, yeah, we're getting ready for I believe it's going to be the 10th annual Joe Shearer Classic this year. We've had 9 different winners, so with the first time the Midwest Tour racer in 2008. The first year wasn't really the Joe Shearer Classic, but it was a 100-lap race that Dan Fredrickson won. And we, in 2009, we ordained the race to be the Joe Shearer Classic. So if you want to call it the 9th running of the Joe Shearer Classic or the 10th annual, it's whatever you want to use on your scorecard, you can do that. But this has become a really neat race, and this year Greg McCarron's really up the ante of the race with a 1,000 to start and 10,000 to win for a 200-lap control pit stop race. And in fact, I saw Greg, I stopped out the track earlier this week and saw Greg, and he's got pretty good entry list going together of some of the top super late mile drivers around the area coming to participate in this event. So I'm thinking we're going to have a real humdinger of a show this year.
Kevin Harvick wants more NASCAR guys driving local short tracks. Do you think that kind of a race in Madison would encourage them, maybe not now, but down the road, to take a look at it?
I think it would. You know, you got to think, you know, I think one person that probably is taking a look at this, and I've not got a confirmation as of the time we're doing this, but you would think that maybe some 2016 NASCAR Crafts Camping World Truck Series champion might want to come there because his crew chief is the son of the driver who we're honoring race. So there's a possibility that he may show up, you know, with this super late model with it. And you know, it all comes down to what the, you know, the, what the Cup schedule is like. Now, something like this, now, in order for this race to work for a Cup driver to come in, we probably would have to move this to like a Tuesday night or something like that in order to get a Cup driver, because they're kind of busy on Sunday afternoon unless they happen to catch a certain off weekend with it. But yeah, I think we all, everybody can be in agreement that Cup drivers do bring in some of the extra fans. They pretty much would get the fans who are pretty much couch potatoes watching Sunday to come out to a track. And for some of these fans, that might be like the only time they come out, actually come out to the track so they can see that driver race in person. You know, you guys probably remember when back when Roy Kenseth and I put together those Matt Kenseth and Tony Stewart races on Tuesday nights and the big crowds we have for it. And that was just a chance to see their favorite drivers come and compete in a super late mile event. And those guys got honestly good cars. They didn't come out there and just drive around and put on a show. Matt won it a few times. Tony had the top 10 finish one time with it, and they come in there and actually race. It's one of the things we have to be careful about with these Cup drivers is, do they come just to do like an appearance, run a few laps, I'm going to park the car, or they can come out there and be door slamming and really want to go for the win. And Harvick's a good guy because he's one of those guys who's going to go out there and go for the win, and he was running real good. I think he got fast, got the pole at the K&N West race at Kern, and then he ran real strong when he actually did the Midwest Tour race with us back in, 2009 up at WIR for the Dixieland race. And I think he ended up finishing eighth off the top of my head. So, you know, Harvick's the one guy who talks what he, you know, who walks what he talks.
You know, Kevin, you brought this up early in the interview about controlled pit stops. And I've seen arguments on both sides. What have you been hearing, and what are some of the thoughts you've been hearing about?
The fans want to see live pit stops. They want to see the pit stops in an impact race because that's what they see on TV. They want to kind of see that same feeling. The ARCA Racing Series, which is going to be coming to Madison in the middle of June, will provide that. The ARCA Racing Series teams, knowing because I help out Mason Mitchell Motorsports whenever I get my free time, they actually go through most of those teams will go through a company called Excalibur Pit Stop School, North Carolina, where basically it's a school that helps train guys become pit crew members, and these guys will get contracted out to the teams, and they'll be the actual pit crew for ARCA team. It costs those ARCA teams money to bring those, not only to have those guys there, but to travel them in for do the races, just to maybe at an ARCA race, one or two pit stops, but they have to be fast. What the controlled pit stops does, it takes away a cost factor for those teams, and it gives an honest thing for a little guy to compete with a big guy who the big guys might be able to afford to bring in a cup style team. And the little guy who can't afford it is going to lose a lot of advantage on pit road. We see that a lot with the Snowball Derby. Snowball Derby is a unique anomaly because that's a race where it has to have live pit stops because that's a traditional race for that. What the controlled pit stops does is we give the teams a chance to basically come in, make adjustments, make their car better, and then go back out and not really lose a position on the track other than, pretty much fall in line behind the other cars. It's a strategy, still works the same because you still have to fall in place and everything. At the same time, I think it still gives the fans a show, and I think Dan can attest to this last year that strategy is a very poor point, matter if it was a live pit stop or controlled pit stop race, because we saw a lot of lead changes in the Joe Scheer Classic last year because of that.
He's exactly right. And something else, I mean, if you look at Oktoberfest last year, a lot of guys got – Dennis Prunty was the one I can think of right off the bat. He had a controlled pit stop and couldn't get out of the pits. Matter of fact, there's about three or four drivers that had to deal with that last year at Oktoberfest. Kevin Ramsell is the writer for the ARCA Midwest Tour. We are going to take a quick break. Then we're going to bring in Paul Reichert. He's going to give you his Burn and Rubber race report. And then, Kevin, you're going to join us to close out the show on something that I think a lot of racetracks are looking at, and that is, I'm just going to buy a ticket and sit in here and let the world watch on my cell phone. That's going to be coming up next on 1460 WBOG.
Your home for the best and latest in short track racing news is the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report on 1460 WBOG.
Welcome back to the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report. I'm Doc, that's Dan. Right across the table from us, it's Paul. It is time for the Burning Rubber Race Report. Paul, what you got for us this week?
Well, of course, the weather's still being a little fickle, screwing things up again. But there is some racing that happened. And let's see, on Friday night, Lucas Oil American Sprint Car Series ran a two-night show at the dirt track at Texas Motor Speedway. Seth Bergman won the feature on Friday. And the Big A Main on Saturday night down there was won by Brady Bacon. The Monster Energy AMA Supercross Series was up at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Eli Tomac scored the victory, and tonight they're at the U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis. I think Drew was going to that, so that should be a lot of fun. ARCA returned to action, first race for them since Daytona. They were at the Nashville Fairgrounds on Saturday night. Zane Smith scored his first ever victory. Natalie Decker came home in 11th, last car in the lead lap. They also had a North-South Challenge race down there for the Super Late Models involving the ARCA CRA Super Series, Southern Super Series, and the CAR Super Late Model Tour. Casey Roderick, my God, he's getting red hot to start the year. He won again. Paul Schaefer,
how many is that?
He won twice in the Pro Late Models last weekend, and this is his third in, like, 9 days, so wow. He's getting red hot. A couple of ARCA Midwest Tour regulars were down there. Paul Schaefer Jr. finished 7th, and Dan Ferguson came home in 16th. USAC Silver Crown Series was the warm-up for the IndyCars at, well, now it's ISM Raceway down in Phoenix. Bobby Santos the winner. Valenti Modified Racing Series at Thompson, Connecticut for their 44th annual Icebreaker Race. Rowan Penick scored the win. And the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars were at Arizona Speedway in Santan Valley, Arizona. Donnie Schott scored the victory. On Sunday was day two of the 44th annual Icebreaker at Thompson, Connecticut. NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour headline, Justin Bonsignor scored the victory. And the Pass North Tour kicked off their season there. And Quickie Driver Development Program participant Derek Griffith scored the victory in that race. And the NHRA, I don't know if you heard, but they rebuilt after the last race. They rebuilt the track. It's now four lanes, just like ZMAX Dragway in Charlotte.
I was watching some video
And they
on
had
that.
The inaugural wow. Denso 4-Wide Nationals last weekend. Steve Torrance victorious in Top Fuel. J.R. Todd won in Funny Car. And Vincent Nobile won his first Pro Stock class event win in 2 years. And that is all we have for the Burning Rubber Race Report this week.
Did you watch any video on that brand new Las Vegas Speedway that's now four lanes?
No, I have not seen it, no.
That is, I mean, I've been doing street drags here since day or night number one, so 8 of the past 10 years, I've been watching it on TV for years. You've got to check out some of the video of that when you got four cars going at the same time. Wow.
That would be amazing to see. I can't wait to see that. Now, is that going to be on MAV TV like everything else at Paul?
Well, it was this past Sunday. They've got Fox Sports 1 has the NHRA this year.
Yep.
So they had it on Sunday, but they'll probably have repeats probably this weekend or probably sometime here. So check your local listings for that.
You know, the one thing that I don't want to see, I mean, you can see guys, and now there's walls that separate these guys. So they're not just blowing wide open on a track in four lanes. They do have a concrete barrier that separates
okay.
them. But you're doing 200 to 300 miles per hour, and you clip that wall.
They're going to jump it.
Yeah, and you've got three other competitors, depending upon which way you're jumping that thing. That's going to be one of the biggest things to watch. And, again, I encourage you to watch the video. Man, that is outstanding.
Well, Dan, we baited the hook at the beginning of the show with Kevin Ramsey on this controversy with Facebook Live at the racetracks. Then the next segment, we're going to bring Kevin back in. We're going to talk all about that on the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report.
The white flag. One more lap on the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back one more time, race fans. The final lap of the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report on 1460 WBOG online and the TuneIn app. Along with Billy Doc Nels and Paul Reichert, I'm Radio Man Dan Dyker. You know, Kevin Ramsell from the ARCA Midwest Tour joining us again. Paul, I was watching his Facebook this week, posted a sign outside of a racetrack that pretty much said, if you're coming into my track, you're not going to Facebook Live, period. You were watching that conversation.
Yeah, this is really turning into a hot button issue around here with all the talk about allowing videoing, allowing Facebook Live versus not allowing it. So how do you feel about this, Kevin? What are your thoughts?
First of all, that sign was put up by Williams Grove Speedway, and I just put it up there because I just wanted people's thoughts about it. And I reacted back to some people, and I was playing devil's advocate with them on some of their thoughts and things like that. First of all, I think the wording on that sign is kind of strongly is too strongly worded, and I think was kind of more of a negative tone that I think would probably take people back a little bit on it. And I think there's a more friendlier way that could be done on this. Personally speaking, I see both sides of it. I'm 50-50 on it. I understand the fact that that stuff like this is great promotion for a racetrack. I think there are some fans out there who have a very kind heart and want to do everything they can to promote their favorite racetrack. And they feel that one of the ways they can do it is, but hey, I want to show my friends what I come and see every week. Maybe they'll come with me next week. I totally understand that. At the same time, there are some fans out there like, I want to be cool. I got to show this so I can get more clicks and things like that. I got to show a video of a live fight going on just so I can get more people to click, so maybe I can get more people to follow me. So there's two sides to that. Here's the thing that I think people need to keep a close eye on with Facebook Live is, yes, there is a promotional side, but you got to look at it from the promoter's eyes. And the promoters is the one that really you have to take a look at, because these promoters, your Chuck Dearies, your Greg McCarns, your Greg Olivers out there, your Wayne Lindsay's at Dells, all put their pocketbook on the line for these races. They put up the money almost themselves with some sponsor help to put on the races. The front gate and the back gate is what's needed to make sure that you, the driver, gets paid for those shows. And the fans can still come back week after week. Concession sales, everything helps with that. And these promoters look at the fact that, man, someone's showing my race live for free to 10 or 12 or 100 or 1,000 of their friends. They're looking at the fact that, man, I'm losing ticket gate money from that. And that's what the promoters look at from that.
What side do you come down on?
What side do I come down on? I think Facebook Live has an important thing to do. I don't think it's fair to show racing live on there, because I think I have too much respect for the promoter. I think Facebook Live can be used very well as an advanced promotion, like we do in the ARCA Midwest Tour.
Like your pre-race videos that we watch, them are all pretty cool.
Yep, and then it gives the fans an idea of seeing who's actually there and things like that. If a race team really wants to do Facebook Live at the track, my suggestion is this: show us what's going on in the pits right now. That way, if there's a fan in the stand on their phone or someone at home, they can get a little inside glimpse of what's going on. Please, I mean, if I was a team, and I understand the fact you got sponsors out of the area, you got family out of the area, friends out of the area, you got to respect the sponsor, the promoter of the race, on the fact that they put out this thing to put on a live event for the people who came in to pay the money for that. If they can't be there in person, I understand. I really feel sorry that they can't be in there in person. Maybe show it later on video, but because they can't, the people who pay that money to come into mission to come in there, they get the privilege of being the first one to see it live, not someone sitting at home to see it for free. I would tell race teams to please respect the promoter, because that front gate is paying your purse every week. Help them get that front gate by doing more on the promotional side and give a little more insight, so that maybe if there's fans in the stands who are following on Facebook Live, they know what you're doing in the pits. How are you getting the car ready for the race?
That's a hot button issue. And Kevin, I wish we had more time, but man, we got to break it off. We're at the end of our wire here, man.
I do want to thank Kevin Ramsdell for joining us on the program, being brought to you by Badger State Clean Water and Air, Big Boar Barbecue, Thomas Porter Speedway, Dean Satellite and Security, Fansarena.com, the Overtime Pub and Grill, and Cool Beans Coffee House. And again, Kevin Ramsdell is going to be joining us periodically throughout 2018 with our ARCA Midwest Tour Minutes. For Bill Doc Niles and Paul Riker, Jesse the producer, I'm Radio Man Dan Dyker. Until next week, support your local short tracks. We'll see you on 1460 WBOG.
There's the checkered flag. Join us again next week on the Badger State Clean Water and Air Race Report on Cool Gold 1460, brought to you by Badger State Clean Water and Air. Do it for your family. Big Boar Barbecue in West Salem and La Crosse, voted the best in the county. Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights, Highway 21, Toma. Fansarena.com, the official clothing supplier of the radio and TV shows. Dean Satellite and Security, and the Team Dean segment. The Overtime Pub and Grill in Bangor, the game never ends at overtime. Cool Beans Coffee House in La Crosse, Kickaboo Coffee, Teas, Baked Goods, and more, La Crosse.